You are watching Notepad. I'm your host, Ibrahim Sani. Just like the previous episode, we are doing things a little bit different this time around. We are currently taping this interview on site at Permata Sapura in downtown KL. Premise is jointly owned by Sapura and KLCC. And of course, the idea here is that we want to try to return back to normalcy. We want to ensure that life goes on as per normal just before COVID. So we are going back to basics, which is to try to go on site for our interviews while practicing safe distancing and SOP. The building that we're in, Permata Sapura, is designed and inspired out of the silhouette lines of Mount Kinabalu. Permata Sapura is awarded the best commercial unit in Kuala Lumpur by CIDBQ LASIK Achievement Award. And of course, they are ready for business and ready to take up tenants right now. We will continue to have a conversation with the folks from Permata Sapura, but for now, we go straight into our interview. In a recent study commissioned by Facebook and Bain that was published in August this year, it has shown quite considerably that the focus is on delivery, grocery, and the references that is made to online grocery in Malaysia is quite promising. In fact, in the report, it shows that the online grocery demand is rapidly growing and continuously growing. The online spending in the space is also accelerating. And of course, Malaysia is one of the fastest and stickiest markets for consumers in this space. So that's why we wanted to speak to an online grocery company. And we are in luck. Joining us for this episode is my grocer. On the line is Stephen P. Francis, the CEO and co-founder of My Grocer. How are you, Stephen?
I'm doing well. I'm healthy. I'm working. I consider that a blessing these days, and we're able to serve people every day of the year. So it's a good time, character building, but a good time. Thank you.
The there's a bit of a disclaimer here. I am a hardcore user of My Grocer. I spend a certain amount of money on My Grocer. I love it. But there's a lot of infidelity going on. It's not just you that is involved in my life. There's a lot of other online grocery shopping as well. In fact, prior to doing this interview, I was asking my wife, as she was walking out of the door this morning, I was asking her, when was the last time we went to a physical store? And the fact that it made us think kind of shows that our behavior has been modulated and have changed to adopt for online grocery shopping. It's worth noting that it's not been smooth sailing. The products and the availability of goods is going to be scarce at times, but this is the same problem if we do go to a physical store as well. So I just want to do a recap. When we last conversed, we were just into the pandemic. We just started our MCO. It's 18 months. It seems like we haven't left where we left off, but I'm sure the business has been changing quite rapidly. So talk through us the business of My Grocer and whether or not do you even agree with this report by Facebook and Bain.
Well, Ibrahim, first of all, we forgive your willingness to try others, even though you love us the best, and we appreciate that. But if you remember right at the beginning, we actually said that when it comes to online groceries, we fully expect that consumers and businesses will probably have anywhere from 3 to 5 online grocers that they use on a regular basis. And this is a reflection of what you see in the offline world as well, where you would visit multiple grocery stores, convenience stores, different things to get different types of products as well. And that really is important to the adoption of online as a viable space to get your groceries, food items, everyday essentials and household needs. So when we first talked about My Grocer, and 18 months feels like it's just yesterday, as we've been working every single day of this pandemic, we had literally just gone live. And we have grown up quite a bit during the pandemic. It has been, if you want to be polite about it, character building in many ways. We've had challenges every single day. Financial, operational, human relations, everything from supply lines to getting things out there to helping consumers who have never used online get online and understand that it's not as easy as just saying, I want something delivered, deliver it now, improving the services, making sure that we do things in a way where we deliver value, it's convenient, but at the same time, safety is of the highest order, right? And through all that, we have been very blessed that we have a core group of consumers who buy from us regularly. And I think that's the first testament towards the fact that, does this work? Absolutely. Can you use online groceries as space to get your groceries on a regular basis? Yes. Are people moving towards online primarily for groceries? I believe yes. There are certain groups who are going to go entirely online, and these especially are senior citizens, families with young children, younger people who just want to get certain types of items. They don't have to go to the store anymore. And these days, going to the store is a whole big production, isn't it? You have to get in your car. You have to drive down there. You have to find parking. You have to make sure they're allowed to go down there. You have to mask up. Some people are advocating gloves as well. You know, there are two schools of thought on that. You have to go into a store where there are many, many people. You have to hope the products are in stock. You have to worry about the safety of doing this as well. And let me be clear. When I say this, it's no criticism of the stores. I think the stores are doing their absolute best. But it's a function of many people in a small space. And that's never a good thing, especially now as we're dealing with a pandemic, which is moving into an endemic, if you listen to certain people. But it's the first of many such situations that are going to come through this region over the next 18 to 24 months. So what my grocer offered people was a way to get everything they can get in their supermarket. I mean, we have over 18,000 products listed on the site now. We keep half of them active at any given time. We ensure the freshness of the products because we are temperature controlled. Our baked goods, for instance, are baked to order. The products are guaranteed fresh, otherwise we give you a refund. So that level of commitment is why people are coming to us. And I think that grocery players who come online and do this, or technology companies like ourselves who are serving in the grocery area, who focus on quality, convenience, and everyday value, these are the brands that are driving that shift which Bain and Facebook and other research companies have seen to help consumers get online. It's very similar to what happened, 10, 15 years ago when e-commerce started to rise. And you had all these very large companies today, but back then they were very small marketplaces and they really focused on quality and customer service. That's also why we maintain a live customer service hotline 7 days a week. We have also expanded into WhatsApp and Facebook Messenger. A lot of different things are happening, but also a lot of customization of product, a lot of localization of product. And ultimately, listening to our consumers and saying, how can we make your life a little bit better? How can we make prices even better? And how can we make sure that you get what you need? And that's really what's been the focus for the past 18 months.
The report shows that Malaysia is one of the fastest and stickiest markets for consumers in this space. I don't know how to make sense of this because we are, you know, we have data issues. Doing this interview with you, both of us are facing some sort of connection issue. Range is a big problem, at least for your business. You can only serve in high metropolitan areas. Getting out to suburban areas would be a challenge for you guys. So how do you match the kind of desire and want from the market with the kind of capacity that you can give, anywhere from connectivity of the internet connection all the way to the delivery service providers with the range, capacity that they face?
Okay, excellent question. So that was actually core to the beginning of MyGrocer. Before we actually went live, we spent a year building a solution and we launched it. It was still, you know, a bit of an ugly duckling. Until today, it's sort of getting to where it needs to get. But low bandwidth was one of the first things we did. And we're fortunate that we have a tech team led by a very, very capable CTO who's got a lot of experience in enterprise systems, travel software, banking solutions. And they built a platform that allows us to do integrated warehousing, logistics, management, delivery, and e-commerce from a single point. And we do it in low bandwidth situations. We do it in high bandwidth situations. Our delivery systems are not outsourced. So we actually do the deliveries ourselves. And that's partly why our quality of delivery is consistent. We're also cold chain enabled. So I can deliver to you ice cream in your home in better shape than if you drove to the store and bought it yourself, because we deliver it in a thermal box. And when it gets there, it's actually still frozen, as opposed to, you know, you drive to the store, you buy it, you come home, it's half melted. Our meats are actually taken out of the cold rooms and prepared for you rather than being put on display. And so these kind of things allowed us to ensure that a product stays viable for a longer period and at a higher quality, while also bringing the cost down a little bit. Now, I like steaks, for instance. And if you go on my grocer today, and I would recommend that people go this month especially, because it's our anniversary month. We have a lot of things happening. But there's a particular cut I like, the Black Angus ribeye. And our ribeye steaks are by an order of magnitude cheaper compared to almost everyone else in the market. But it's the exact same quality or better than what's available out there. And when we deliver it to you, it's in better shape as well, because it's thermal controlled. And our consumers are starting to realize this, and they're saying, wait, if these guys can do it and they can offer the range, why can't my neighborhood store do it? Why are they charging me so much for the same product? And these are the things that we're helping people to understand. In terms of delivery, we have one of the widest delivery coverage areas in the country today. So we run our own store. It's based out in Subang Jaya. And within that 20,000 square feet that we built, we have some temperature zones, we have a bakery, we have a processing area. And all this is done under tight supervision. We pack the products there as well. We send it out to you. And we deliver as far away as Seremban in some instances. A test is going on right now to enter Seremban. But on a regular basis, we're delivering from Putrajaya all the way up to Ampang, from Cheras to Klang, and everything in between. And that really is allowing us to serve the needs of as many consumers as we can. And it's leading to consumers starting to move online in general and coming to my grocer in particular, because they like the fact that when they buy from us, they get the range, they get quality, they get good value on pricing. Our delivery costs are one of the cheapest in the market, and there's an easy way to get free delivery from us. And ultimately, they get a guarantee of freshness. And that's really helping them do that. That is also why I think a lot of Malaysians are going online. They're starting to realize that there are viable options, safe options, affordable options, that last one especially, affordable options to get high-quality food, groceries and everyday essentials delivered to them 7 days a week.
We'll go for one short break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with my grocer. Thanks for staying on with us. I have with me on the line Stephen P. Francis, the co-founder and CEO of MyGrocer. Stephen, if I can direct you back to the report by Bain and Facebook that was commissioned and published earlier this last month, it shows that there is a lot of continual behavior to stay at home post-COVID. The report shows that 86% of in-home food delivery is expected to remain so after COVID-19. And this is closely followed by grocery shopping. And I count myself as part of that 75% of people that will continue to shop at home post-COVID. This is a huge shift. 75% means 3 in 4 will continue to shop online after COVID. This must mean well for your business, right? Or is there something amiss here?
Well, I think that we need to look at those numbers and also understand where they're coming from. But I would say that in urban areas, that number is probably going to hold true. And in rural areas, it's starting to climb because services like ourselves, even us, for instance, we've started the tests where we're reaching out to non-urban areas and we'll be able to deliver some groceries to them. And in urban areas, definitely. So take yourself, for instance. You know, you're busy, you're a family man, you have kids. So you're going to think about what's the best way to spend your time, what's the safest way to engage with your family in activity, and how do you get the best ingredients to cook at home? Because being Asian, we really appreciate high-quality ingredients and we want it to be convenient as well. And it's very quickly becoming apparent that you don't actually need to go to the store. You can actually get a better experience by shopping online. And the fact that you save some money is just icing on the cake. Now, also, I think the past 18 months has demonstrated to people that there are far better things to do with your time than spending 3 hours to go down and buy some chicken and chips and milk and then have to carry 30 to 40 kilograms of items back to your house and all that hassle, right? You don't need to do it. You might want to go down to the store every once in a while to check out something, but much like you do with everything else these days, you're going down there to take a look-see, but you can get it delivered. Why wouldn't you? And if you can get delivery costs that are super, super low, even better. And so I fully subscribe to that. I myself tend to spend more online now than I do offline. And mind you, I've been able to move around anyway. And this extends from food delivery to groceries, to electronics, to gifts for people as well. It's just much more convenient and it makes much more sense.
The next step has to be automation, right? Where my fridge will never be empty, you know, open the fridge, the food is there. If the milk is finished, some reordering process takes place. I would have to pre-approve it beforehand, but once I approve it, everything is a go. Is this a possibility that you guys are going to venture into as well?
So actually, that's an interesting point. We spent the past 18 months sort of getting our feet under us and figuring out how we're going to get through a pandemic situation and get the business up and running and keep things ticking along. But the next 18 months is going to see a couple of things happening. We are upgrading our entire ecosystem. So now you won't just get your groceries, you'll get it in a way that's designed for you. We're also bringing in new private label products. We already had ready-to-cook meal kits, selection of them. We did some marinated meats. Starting next month, we're actually bringing in a whole new selection and upgrade on that. We're also going to make it easier for people to subscribe to us and get their items just renewed and refreshed to them on a regular basis. As you said, you may need your milk, your eggs, your bread, certain items, which we would know what you need because you buy from us, and we can replace them for you on a regular basis. You don't even have to worry about it. And this convenience factor is taking it one step further. But we're also big in terms of helping people to cook the meals that they want. So a lot of people are sometimes daunted by the idea that I don't know how to cook. And our meal kits actually make it really easy for them. And we've seen a great interest in what we're doing there as well. Outside of that, we're making MyGrocer available in many other places. So right now, you can find us online. You can find us on our apps. But within the next 6 months, you're actually going to find MyGrocer in other places. And you'll be able to interact with us through brands that you love and trust. And it's just going to make it so much more seamless because I think grocery shopping, food shopping, household essentials, you don't need to go to one place to get it. What you want is you want to go to one brand. And with that brand is present in many places, it's going to make it easy for you.
Let's talk a little bit more about the market itself. Online grocery shopping is not easy to do. In fact, you can tell us firsthand how difficult situations can be.
Yes.
But at the same time, there's a few other players in the market right now. Is the town big enough for everyone to play in this sandbox? Or will there be some form of attrition amongst the players and a more consolidated view of, say, the fittest stay the longest? Is that the situation right now?
I believe there will be some attrition. And unfortunately, we're going up against some very, very well-funded competitors who are trying to buy their way into the market, essentially, right? And that's one way of doing it. We're focusing on the idea that, you know, we don't have as much money as them, so we're going to focus on quality and customer service. And that's really where we're coming from as well. But ultimately, I think that we're going to end up with five, maybe a little bit more players in the market who each do a different thing. We, for instance, focus on the entire ecosystem and range and quality and convenience. We also see some players who are focusing on just convenience items, the things you might find in a neighborhood convenience store and you want it just delivered to you really quick. So you pay them a premium. And we've seen this premium really high numbers, in some cases 20, 30% more than what it will cost you to get it somewhere else. But you pay a premium to get it delivered to you on the spot. We also get people who are going onto the marketplaces and just selling one or two items. And these are more dry goods. And so you can go there and get these prices and things like that. That, I think, is where the model is going to end up. And this is based also what we've seen in other parts of the world. When you look at Europe and the US, you look at India, and you look at China, you've seen this happen over the past 5 to 10 years. Southeast Asia really is just one of the last markets to actually get into online groceries. So if you look at them as a crystal ball, you can already see what's going to happen. And the model that MyGrocer employs is actually one of the few that actually survives, because we control the ecosystem, focusing on quality, we focus on guarantees, we focus on care, and especially now in this age of extreme care required because of the things that are happening in the world, we believe that consumers are going to vote with their wallets for someone who actually cares about what they do.
You know, I mean, I don't know whether you want me to share this, but I'll share it anyway. I went to your depot, I don't know how to phrase it, many years ago, prior to the pandemic, when you first started off, I was very yes. impressed. I saw a fresh bakery there. I saw the cold walk-in fridge. You know, my Apple Watch actually sounded the alarm. I was in an ultra cold room, you know, I don't know, minus 20 degrees. It was so impressive. But that was a time when we didn't know there was a pandemic going to hit us. Do you feel that you guys had to pivot tremendously to fit your business to this very troubling times? Or is it more of the same? And after the pandemic is over, we do expect to live with the COVID endemic. And most of us are vaccinated anyway. Is it a reversion to the original business model, or you're going to go with a lot of tweaking what you have learned from this MCO and pandemic?
So the store that you visited, actually, so we call it a dark store or a cloud store, and essentially it is core to the business. It's a place where we treat food, especially food, with a great deal of respect and care. And that's very, very important, because when you buy chicken, for instance, you don't want that chicken to be shipped out next to some toys. You want it to be shipped out in a way that actually takes care of it. When you buy bread, you want that bread to be baked for you. You don't want it to be sitting on a rack for 3 hours and then sent to you. You know, it's these kind of things. And I speak as a consumer myself, and that's why we built it that way. The MCO, the pandemic year, has taught us many things. It refined the way we do things. It's made us much more efficient in some spaces. It's helped us build some new efficiencies. Some of the new features that are coming out are the result of that thinking as well. And it's been good in that it's helped us to figure out what consumers want and what they're going to need as they move forward. So COVID as a pandemic and now moving into an endemic is just the first of many such situations that we're going to see. We're already seeing variants appearing in different parts of the world. We're seeing other kinds of pandemics starting to make their mark. And it may not be as bad as total lockdowns, but I think people are going to appreciate having a space where they can be sure of the quality and the safety of what they do, right down to the contactless deliveries. But at the same time, they don't want to pay a super, super premium to get those services. It should be delivered as part of the service without being charged an additional fee. Because look, it's a cost of doing business, isn't it? If you pay rental for your store, you don't charge a customer for that when you have to pay a little bit more because of sanitization. But what we're seeing outside is many brands are stepping up and trying to put surcharges on top of things that don't make sense to us, at least. So we've adapted, we'll continue to adapt, but that quality control, that focus on what really makes something right, it remains core to our values. And what we do is we cut out the middlemen in many places. We get products direct from source if we can. So our vegetables, for instance, are delivered daily to us. That's how we keep it fresh. Our meats are from the source. We import some directly as well. Our grocery items come from the manufacturers, and our delivery is done by our own teams. So that removes a lot of the excess baggage around, a lot of the it's not my fault claims that a lot of people might be worried about. And in terms of security, we work with the best banks out there and the best partners. So we make sure that those payment systems are moving in the right place as well. And that focus on quality and care, making sure that things are done right, that's how we intend to stay competitive as well. In terms of whether we continue to build giant warehouses, so our model has always been designed around this hub and spoke model. So the large one you visited is one of the hubs, and our spokes really are optimized data-driven versions of that in neighborhoods. And as we expand throughout Peninsula Malaysia, which we intend to do in the next 8 months into identified cities already, and as we expand throughout the region, which we aim to do within the next 2 to 3 years, this model will evolve, and each city with its distinct personality will sort of define how my grocer looks after it, whether you use vans, whether you use cars, whether it's people on scooters. There's so many ways that we can do this. But because we built a technology platform as the underpinnings of our service, that is how we're actually driving the business forward as well.
We will go for one short break before we conclude our conversation with my grocer. Thanks for staying on with us. We are taping this interview from Permata Sapura here in downtown KL, a very nice building actually. And on the line right now is Stephen P. Francis, the co-founder and CEO of MyGrocer. Stephen, you were mentioning just now, early on in the interview, we were working throughout the pandemic. That line is actually quite, it struck a chord with me because it did mean that some of us are fortunate enough to continue on working. The latest numbers show over 700,000 Malaysians are unemployed. This number is from DOSM. And our hearts go to them. But for folks like you, you are busy right now. And it's a bit strange, right? Because it's a pandemic, people are supposed to slow down, but you're in essential services. If anything, you have to triple, double, quadruple your efforts to make sure that people get their food. How has it been for you guys, not just you, but the folks at MyGrocer, working through the pandemic? Talk to us through the human aspect of it.
It's been tough. If you know, if I'm not going to sugarcoat it, it's been tough. Long days, dealing with problems that shouldn't exist. And look, a lot of these problems were driven by fear. Some of them were driven by very practical concerns. Some of them are just bureaucratic. Some of them were just the function of what's happening around the world. But what happened is we saw our teams undergoing a lot of emotional strain, the strain of just trying to get things done, exhaustion in some spaces. It didn't help when we actually started seeing some of our team members get sick, and we had to come to terms with that as well. We've had people quit because they couldn't take it anymore. The co-founders themselves, you know, we've had many, many long, loud discussions, arguments, if you will, about what should be done, because everyone's just so concerned about how do we get this right and how do we keep our people safe and keep our customers safe and how do we make sure that we look after people. Along with that, we actually tripled our, doubled down on our initiative to look after the communities we're in. You're absolutely right. A lot of people have lost their jobs. A lot of people were hungry. And so we worked with private donors, we worked with organizations. Most recently, we worked with Maybank through their Summer Summer Local program. And this year alone, despite the challenges we've had, despite the problems we were dealing with, we raised over 200,000 ringgit. And that money went towards feeding over 1,000 individual families, homes, senior citizens and children's homes. We worked with charity organizations. And every time we do this, we extend our resources to support it as well. And again, that's a part of the business that, you know, it's not commercial. It doesn't contribute to our bottom line. It's a strain on the operation, but it's part of who we are because we have profit and we have purpose and we have to balance those two. But it has been tough and we've had a lot of people not be able to deal with it. So we've had to deal with the human aspect. Our customer service champions that they have had to deal with customers who don't always understand that. When you order something, yes, the supplier says it's coming in, so we make it available, and it doesn't arrive. And it could be because of roadblocks. It could be that the product is not in good shape and arrives. It could be that it arrived late. There are many reasons, but we're not going to send you something that we don't believe is worthy of being sent to you. And they take the brunt of that as well. And a lot of that is people being frustrated, people being stuck at home, people operating out of fear. We take it on the chin. We keep on going. And we wake up and we do it over and over again. And I am very fortunate that I have a stellar team who have just stepped up and they want to serve. And so they serve every single day. And it just inspires me to show up and do what I do as well.
Fantastic. Those are very interesting stories. Like I said, your path to building this business is fraught with a lot of challenges. So I really wish you well. Trust me on this one, I'll continue to shop on MyGrocer, that's for sure. I do love the product. I use it myself. So there's a lot of disclaimer here before people start accusing me of saying things. But yes, I do like the product because I'm a firm believer of... And by the way, I'm a strong complainer. I don't know whether you get my complaints, but I do complain a lot.
I do. I do. So customer service is actually one of the areas that I look after with my team directly. And I can say that one of the things that's about MyGrocer is people ask us, why do you keep a hotline? You know, you could just get people to write to you. And I say, yeah. But without naming names,
it's called berating.
It's called berating. It's about letting the steam off.
Exactly right. But by letting people speak to us, we hear both the good and the bad. We're very fortunate. We get customers who call us to tell us if we're doing a good job, and we appreciate that. But we also get customers when they complain. We look at every opportunity to improve it. And that's how we keep doing it every single day.
Thank you very much. Okay, well, that was Stephen P. Francis, the CEO and co-founder of MyGrocer. That's it for this particular interview. If you want to learn more about the business, go to MyGrocer. You can just Google it and you can find it. Of course, if you want to learn more about this show, just head on to astrawani.com. Look for Notepad. We're shooting or we're taping this on site at Permatasapura. There's a lot of information about this nice building that you can find out as well. Until then, thanks very much for watching and goodbye.